Welcome, everyone, to Human to Human, the podcast. I'm Tennyson Wolfe, and I get to invite a new-ish yet dear-ish friend onto the podcast today, Samantha Slade. I'm going to welcome her to say hello in a moment, but just wanted to set up a little bit for those of you listening and joining in again today. This year's theme for this podcast is around practicing peace or practicing for peace, and it comes from some dear friends and dear mentors and dear colleagues and dear connections that this is one of the things that we try to do with one another. And this is one of the things that we encourage in the groups that we're convening with, both as personal practice and as shared practice, or personal awareness and personal consciousness and shared awareness and shared consciousness. So my desire that continues in this podcast is to have conversations with interesting people and to follow some learning together in pretty conversational formats so as to bring out maybe some a little bit more awareness and a little bit more consciousness and maybe a few insights with people as they go about their learning, or as you go about your learning, and as you go about your desires to engage with a relationship with peace and a relationship with practicing peace. So today, and I like to do this with friends, and I like to do this with guests, and I like to have the feeling of sitting in a living room together and maybe sipping on a cup of coffee or sipping on a cup of tea, or sometimes having a glass of wine or a glass of beer together. But there's so much to share, and I think there's so much to generate in the moment as we interact with one another. So with that as a little bit of excuse me, cough, a little bit of introduction. I do have a cough that's coming right now, and I'm just going to do my best with that in the call today. I want to welcome in Sam, and let me say a few things about Sam because we met. You were the kind of person that actually I think I had known of you for quite some time but hadn't met. And likely a good chunk of that was through the art of hosting field and practice and being in different geographies, but having a lot of friends in common and a lot of colleagues in common. And then we did get to meet first time in person in 2022 for a Practice for Peace gathering that was in Denmark. We and some other yummy people got to find ourselves in a space together and in some incredible community and learning together. I know you on a few layers, Sam, and I've always appreciated the friendship, and I've appreciated some kind of sparky, playful quality that we get to have with one another that includes a lot of shared fields of practice. I'm so glad that you're here today and that we get to have this conversation. Hello.
Hi, Tennyson. And as I was getting ready to be together with you today, I was really sitting with, oh, it's so sweet to be able to have a space where I get to have a time together in which we just get to be in co-learning. And my relationship with you is such that I know that we're just going to have that together. So I'm like showing up today, curious about the conversation and wondering where it's going to take us.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Sam, I think it always helps to have a little bit of context, including in things like podcasty things like this. And rather than preparing some grand introduction of you, I always like it when people just say a little bit of, we can start here and we can say a little bit of, or I'd invite you to say a little bit of who you are in the world and what you're up to and what interests you and what keeps you going. And then maybe just tie it a little bit into, oh yeah, this practicing for peace thing. Then we'll get to follow that. What kinds of words of intro or context would you like to offer?
I think I maybe want to share or even think about myself from the lens of practicing peace. So why don't I just give it a go from that?
Let's do it.
So who am I and where do I come from? I have my lineage is from the Civil War in Spain, and I know it's really marked a lot of why I'm doing the work I'm doing today, because some people when they have war in their heritage and family line, it marks. In my family, we were refugees, and it created a wall of silence about so many things, silence and avoidance. And a lot of my work has gone into the field of how do we have conversations and dialogue around the stuff that we're uncomfortable talking about. And I can feel that from my own family line that's in my thread.
Yeah.
Then in my work, I think today that happens via Percolab, which we've celebrated 15 years ago last year.
Nice.
And it's been a practice field of what can an organization be if we let go of the assumptions and obligations of what we think an organization is supposed to be and how we show up as a team and function with it. How can we approach that completely differently? So we're doing work that we could conventionally call organizational development, but from a space of an applied research lab of absolutely being in our own unlearning, relearning, experimentation. And in the end, one of the things that I came to be aware of at one point in that is that what I love about this structure and community given ourselves, started here in Montreal and exists in other countries around the world now, called Percolab, mm-hmm. Is that we're all committed to it. So that means that it becomes a space where we get to learn to be together with our differences in a context of working with real money, real human beings, real clients, real legal structures, real workplace norms, and all of that. So we're experimenting wildly in a conventional culture and together committed. And of course, there's all sorts of stuff that comes up with that. And then it becomes a place where we get to practice to be better humans together because we go through the hard stuff. So I love the work that we do, and I can talk about it from the clients and the projects, and I love the initiatives that we create out of the research lab. But at the end of the day, the thing that really brings me in is that I'm in a space, been committed now for 16 years with a group of people, both locally and the international Percolab, that's the governance together, of how do we be together and do good work in new and novel ways that feel like we're deconstructing so many of the assumptions and paradigms inside ourselves and moving forward. And we can only do that with practicing peace, right? So yeah, I run a business. It's a cooperative. It's co-owned with people who are, you know, are of my age and are very much younger than me. And we do wild, crazy work. And it's, I would say it's a privilege to be in this space. It's a joy to be in it, but mostly it's a great learning field for myself. And I don't think I can work on system change without working on myself. And so, yeah, that's how I maybe want to talk about myself today. Hi.
Thank you for that start. Nice going. Hey, Sam, what does the narrative, which sounds fancier than I want it to be, but what does the narrative of peace do for you? Or like, how does it alter you? Or how does it alter your seeing or, you know, the focus of how you go about any of those things, personal and professional? You and I have talked a little bit, excuse me, over the years, over the times of our connection. Well, I've shared some of that with you. It's like, I feel like the narrative of practicing peace provides like really important grounding for, oh, what are we doing in this group? Or what are we doing in this community? Or what are we doing in this organization? What do you find changes when you use that language, spirit, invitation?
It's interesting because I talked about like self and system. Mm-hmm. You and I think what connects us on this practicing peace bit is the practicing peace inside ourselves and 1 meter around is it brings it back home to every instant when I get lost and wrapped up, caught up in whatever's going on. And if I can manage to take a breath and give it a listening lens or a reframe or a new perspective from this angle of, how could I be practicing peace here and now in this? Or how is what I'm witnessing practicing peace? And it just, it gives me a way of experiencing the world very differently. And I know that When I say to other people, like I'll bring in the term practicing peace, and they'll go straight up to, you know, the big wars and the terrible things going on in the world, which are completely unsettling, and we can get lost in our footing. This idea of practicing peace inside myself brings me back to my own grounding in a way. In the big swirl of all that's going on everywhere, but micro right in front of me to like macro out in the world, and practicing peace just brings me home. I don't know. How does it feel for you, Tennyson?
Yeah, I think that's good. It's a good one to play with, because I find that I'm looking for things related to peace that live really close by. So an example for me is, you know, and it's the next layer of conversation. Oh, practicing peace. So what does that mean? Well, one of the things that it means for me includes practicing kindness, like being kind, simply trying to live as a kind human being. And for me, it's always at the layers that we talk about. There is kindness with self, and there is kindness with others, and there is kindness with circumstance, and then probably something bigger than that. I like to talk about life flowing, but all of those things can kind of go together. And to me, kindness feels like one of the doorways that helps me find a way into some like, oh yeah, practice peace. That feels like a big thing. How do I pull that down? Oh, well, I'll start with some kindness, or maybe start with some joy, or maybe start, it's a little trickier still, but some consciousness. I think kindness is probably my most go-to thing. And as you're naming, oh gosh, all of that stuff is happening in the world. But don't forget that how you develop, practice, be, treat yourself is actually a big part of that. Like I've had some really dear colleagues, you know, along the way that have shared some things like, if you can't practice peace within yourself, it's pretty hard to practice peace out there. If you can't practice kindness within yourself, it's pretty hard to practice kindness out there, or exhibit or vibrate kindness, those kinds of things.
I hear you on the kindness, and I'm totally with you. And I'm going to give you a little, and I mean, you probably know this, but I feel like as a woman, the thing that I got when I started to think about practicing peace was not so much kindness. It was this, it helped me understand in a much clearer way that pleasing and politeness is not practicing peace.
No.
And I'm trained from a very small age. I got three older brothers. Trained from Southern Spain culture, right, in a lot of ways,
right,
to be polite,
yeah,
and sometimes make myself small, or to make sure that I'm pleasing. And a lot of the practice of peace brought out the courage and warriorship in me.
Yeah,
not warriorship for doing that, you know, awful things, but like practicing peace requires sometimes stepping up in the strongest part of yourself,
yeah,
and standing tall and taking voice or doing an action in a specific space for in service of the kindness. But I find that I had to go through a little bit of a journey to get to that space of practicing peace. So kindness, yes, and like really brave, some courage piece in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a clarity in that, and I'm appreciating the naming. I have pleaser in me also, and I've had to develop some awareness around that relationship of being a pleaser, and watching myself get frustrated with being a pleaser, or even get frustrating with the context of, boy, there's a lot of pleasing going on, but I feel like we're missing out on something else here. So I appreciate the kind of naming. You make me think of a personality typing system. I'm doing some work with another friend and client, and they use a particular system in there that yields results through four colors. And excuse me, in the super oversimplified version of some much thicker material, one of the colors, green in this case, represents like the symbolic statement, the symbolic personality identification goes with it is show me that you care. And I turn out to be green on that system. It's true that I value an environment of caring. And I think in the system, in that typing system, it's like missing a little nuance there. The nuance that I'm looking for is not just that you care that you're a kind human being or something like that. It's that you care about purpose or that you care about the bigger vision of things here. Like these are the things that I love hearing with people and I love to encourage in the groups that I get to work with also. So I think that kindness seems to serve some much bigger story about who we are as human or who I desire to be as a human being, I think. And maybe the kinds of things that we can do with one another. Yeah, there's so much nuancing, I think, that we can play with around that. Yeah, I think there's a bit more, but I'm
There,
watching.
it's like I'm going to give you a little anecdote from yesterday team meeting
Please, yay.
at Brookhall, because I mean the practicing piece for me comes up all the time, and I was like, oh, I could just think of anything. So yesterday afternoon, we have a new person who's joined the team, and she is so kind. She is a kind, caring soul, right? And we've talked about the practicing piece bit, and she really resonates with it. And so she's trying to come in with her personal leadership and proposals and do things right. And I'm loving that, right? So yesterday came in with a proposal. I'm gonna do this event. It's gonna be in the evening. I'm calling it. So she's creating something in the world at an event, and it's got beauty and purpose and soul and insight. It's all really great, right? And then as she gets to the end of it, it's like, well, except it would take the space of the Perkle Lab studio, and I don't know if other people need to use the studio, and da, 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 da. And I saw on the calendar there's nobody using it, but da, 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 da. And so maybe does anybody have an objection to me using the studio? And like the whole thing just fizzled to this person who was in her smallest self and unable to just go, hey, studio's free on this day. I'm taking it. I've put it in the calendar. Can everybody note that? Please come to the event. And I witnessed her with a smile going, she hasn't found the peace in herself around taking up space. And her taking up space is she's bringing something very cool, very beautiful, very aligned, really important. She's bringing it to a place that's absolutely, set up for that in a time where there's nothing else going on, and unable just to like own it. And I was like, huh, this is interesting, because in a way, there's practice peace in here. Doesn't seem to have it on the surface, but there is. She has to practice peace inside herself to be able to take up that place. And then I was like, oh, how am I practicing peace in me as I witness this and feed back to her, right? Like, there's a part of me that's like annoyed with all the women that play small. This is a bit frustrated. And I gotta like check in with that. And it's not in service for me to do anything. And it's a time for me to smile and just go, hey, something really light and playful and joyful that speaks to what I'm seeing and can keep us in that space of being our best selves, which includes taking up space and creating things that push other things aside. And that is peaceful. Like, peaceful isn't being everybody small in case somebody else wants to do something. It's a funny example I give.
Okay, in the spirit of yarn,
Yeah.
then we keep going with that. So let's pretend there is something about how we come to occupy ourselves, how we come to claim space, how we come to and do that in good ways, like not obnoxious, crazy, whatever, sideways kinds of ways. So let's pretend there's something in there, and that practicing one of the forms of practicing peace is actually just living into your big self. Which is probably a, you know, line that's going to go up and down and up and down, and whoops, really got it that time. Whoops, you know, really moused out on that one. When we do, what do you think is the, like, is there a ripple that comes from this person, a person who just carries that vibe of, I'm in my real self. Maybe it's a big self. Maybe it's just a real self. What does that do to others?
Yeah, when we witness it with others, it brings it up in ourselves.
I think so, right?
I think so. And then when we witness the withering, how do we, like that moment of self-doubt, because she showed up in it fully. And then like the little voice that questions and makes you small came and was there as well. And it was like, how do I show up in a way that goes, yeah, your big self, go, 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 right? And what are the subtle things I'm doing that make it go that way or not? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know that I had a moment of witnessing things in big self once, and it was a collective moment, and I'd witnessed so much big self going on around me, Tennyson, that I couldn't quite sense make about it. And my body started crying. I don't know if I've told you this story. I was sitting beside Toke, and I just, my body was crying, as in I wasn't crying. I wasn't feeling like a dramatic moment, but I was just shedding tears. It's a very weird thing. And people came up to me and were like, are you all right? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine, right? And I just kept crying, but I couldn't stop it. And I did it for a while. And I loved, because Toki sat beside me and just witnessed.
Yeah.
Just, I don't think he touched me. I don't think he moved. He was just like, this is okay. This is sometimes what we need as we shed a skin, a layer, or whatever, and step into our bigger selves. And I kind of remember that moment. Like, I can remember it going, oh yeah, there's the smaller Samantha before this moment. And then there's the bigger self Samantha after this moment. And that collective community thing is what helped me get there. I wasn't going to do that by reading books and being on my own.
You and I share a love, friendship, appreciation with Toka. He's a person who has really helped to create some of this invitation, story, community around practicing peace. What do you love about him?
Well, Toka shows up as his big self, right?
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. And the big self in full of love, full of kindness, and full of warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And so he, in a way, embodies those elements that are the practicing peace.
Mm-hmm.
And not in a way where it's like telling anybody to do anything.
No.
There's no telling. There's no nothing. There's walking that himself beautifully. And I mean, I think about the story I just share, witnessing me coming into that, he stayed with me. So he's not just walking it for himself. He stayed with me as I came into at least one more of me showing up bigger in the world. So that's a, yeah, there's a, he cares about this so much that he makes it a priority.
Mm-hmm.
What do you love about him?
Yeah, well, I think somewhere in all of that, Sam, is that I think Toka has an appreciation for mystery. And to me, there's always some background of living that mystery. And Toka is one of the best people I've known. one of the people that I've most appreciated that seems to love that. Like, it's almost a love everything, love the learning, love the community, love the struggle, or love the little moment that or the big moment of witness. Like, something's happened there with Sam. And I can imagine that Toko would even say, like, I'm not sure what's happening, but it seems right to just sit still, you know?
Absolutely.
So, and that seems to be an orientation to, I think it is mystery, or to things that just unfold, and maybe even a comfort of, I don't know what all of that is, and I don't need to know what all of that is, but I can remain in like a loving posture or something like that. Especially, well, I find that true with Toka and some others that I know that, yeah, it kind of leads off into other spaces that I'm not quite sure how to follow, but there's something about a healthy human and a healthy masculine in there. And if I tie that back into just the space that we're talking in, yeah, boy, just even the, like, whatever the big self is, live into that.
And it can take so many forms.
Sorry, say again.
And it can take so many forms, right?
Yeah.
So the image that came up to me as you were just talking there was of a more recent, I don't cry much, just to, so you know, right? Like, I'm one of those people who struggles to cry. That's why the few moments in my life where I really sobbed, I remember them, right? And one was last fall in a team meeting, which workplace we don't usually, right? Because that's what we're supposed to show up with, our professional selves. Well, one of the things about Percolab is we get to show up as our authentic selves. And so something was going on with work that kind of crossed over into my personal trauma space and showed up as some tears. And I remember what my colleague Stephanie did. And so she showed up in her big self in that moment, because my colleagues were looking at me and they're like, whoa, Samantha's such, you know, like a strong person usually. Right. How is that? She's crying. And oh my God, everybody's feeling completely awkward and uncomfortable, right? There are no rules for this. What do you do when Right. you're having a team meeting and one of your colleagues starts to, right? And I know that there's some kind of habits that we might fall into, but my colleague Stephanie showed up in her big self, and she leaned in and said to everybody, here's a post-it. I want you to write something that you love about Samantha and go and give it to her.
Oh my gosh.
And everybody went quiet.
Yeah.
And everybody started filling out their post-its. And I was just got some space to cry, sobbed and composed myself, right? And I'm kind of looking at everybody, and she's holding this, right? And then one by one, they get up, they bring the post-it, they show it to me. It's an image, a word, a mixture. Right. And they explain why they love this about me. Just one little sentence, look me in the eye and put it in my hand. And one by one, all my colleagues come and do this. It only takes like a minute or two. And I take all the post-its, I put them around me on a paper, and I'm feeling like really, really calm. And the meeting continues.
Nice.
And I'm like, well, if that wasn't a practicing peace moment, I don't know what that was. You know what I mean?
We paused. We attended to a something. We responded to an invitation, post-it note, you know, one word, one image that you love about Sam, and then park it, give those to you, park it, and then on we go. Hot damn, that's good.
I'm like so appreciative of that moment. And I feel like, yeah, we've been experimenting what a business or an organization or a team can be for all of these years. And at that moment, I was like, yeah, we've been doing good work. That can happen, that one person can unravel. And I didn't pull, the whole team didn't get sucked into my unraveling. There's none of that happened.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like I had to remove myself so that everybody didn't get sucked in. It was able to exist and be dealt with within 3 minutes in a way that even I was able to contribute to the meeting as it continued.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that felt like, in a way, a new form of practicing peace. For me, at
there
least.
Are a couple things that come from my my learning experiences along the way from people that I've really appreciated and love. One is Toka, and the other is, I'm going to come back to Christina Baldwin, because in the early, I think it was either late 90s or early 2000s, that's when I met Christina Baldwin and Anne Linnea. We're learning Circle. We're using Circle for a leadership initiative, and we started doing these dialogues, right? And I remember so clearly, Sam, like being in one of those circles that's about 30 people or so. And of course, it's dialogue, and there's a good container. And it's not me that's holding it at this point, right? This is like, I'm a participant here, so I'm contributing in some way that way. But there's others that are holding it. And Christina Baldwin is one of them. And someone in that circle, when it was their turn, they spoke and the tears were flowing. And it was a moment. It was an emotional moment. And I don't remember specifically what Christina did, but I think this was a good move. And maybe it ties into, we welcome wholeness here, which itself seems to be a nice little neighbor to practicing peace. I think Christina, like, I think it rang the bells. We paused, and Christina said like a couple of things about how all of this exists together. You know, there were some people that were walking into the center and picking up the Kleenex box and wanting to deliver it over to the person crying. And Christina kind of stopped all of that. She said, you know, why don't we, as another way of honoring the person that is speaking, who is in tears, just let that person ask for the Kleenex if they need it. And it wasn't a post-it note from everybody to that person in that circumstance, but it's just like just this little moment that interrupted the normal hijacking that can happen with something like that. Gosh, it was good. Like, it was such a key moment for me of learning about, oh, Circle is a little different than some of the other things I'd been involved in. And I think in part because of what we're talking about, because you do get to show up. And sometimes we're just going to tend lightly to this moment. And sometimes maybe we're going to follow it further. But there's ways to be able to honor the wholeness in even some light but deliberate tending, i.e. the post-it note in the moment, or that little moment with Christina, where she just kind of reshaped, how are we and who are we together in this circle? Excuse me. The other part that I remember was from An Art of Hosting, and this one was Toka and some others from 15 or so years ago. And in that group of 40 or so, there was a moment where we're all in big circle, and one of the participants was just losing it. Like, the sobs were coming and the snottiness was coming, and I didn't know what to do with it really at the moment. Toka did a cool thing. He just paused, and again, without fixing it, which I loved about it, he just, like, he said it out loud. He acknowledged it. And he spoke to the person. Something seems to be happening. Is there anything that you need from us? It was just that tiny little thing. And that was different than, well, let's just go on and pretend it's not happening, or let's make it something that it's not. It was such a cool move. So I think the link that I'm trying to make, Sam, is to pull that back into maybe in the midst of the many, many efforts and practices that are oriented in peace. Maybe what lives really nearby is some kind of welcome of the wholeness that we are individually and collectively. Whew. Let me pause there.
For me, it's like just looping back to what I said at the beginning about the politeness and the pleasing. So in that moment of discomfort we have as we witness the wholeness, like, it gets us like, woo, it's like very uncomfortable to witness the wholeness. We can make it go away by coming and doing a little fix thing, right? And so staying with it is something. Mm-hmm. And then moving on is also something.
Mm-hmm.
Letting it be, and just this, and I come back to witnessing, how it's so important. And witnessing is, I don't need to make it anything. Just let it be.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to, I don't need to understand it. I don't need to solve it. I don't need to anything.
Yeah.
Just witness it. And we're so, it's not that many spaces that we have where we're practicing mm-hmm. that as a human skill, which mm-hmm. allows us to do difficult things together mm-hmm. and meet the complexity and difficulty that our individual and collective human experiences bring us to.
Right.
And that skill, that practice, just to be able to say something seems to be happening, or is there anything you need from us, right. or to offer a post-it of love, those moments are like wicked practicing peace. Yeah. And we need so many of them. And I come back to, it's the little micro.
Yeah.
It's those, they're so tiny and yet so transformational to everything.
Yeah. Those are micro moments in a group. Sam, in your own personal practice way, like, what are the things that you do that contribute to this like foundation or grounding or anchoring in your own commitment to peace, peace inner, peace outer?
Yeah. And it's not easy, right? Because it's a dance. And for me, because of this politeness pleasing thing, I'm often in questions. When do I speak up and when do I let go?
Sure.
And so I feel like it just brings me questions I can sit with and witness myself in the question. So I'll give you something concrete because that sounds way too abstract. Talking on the phone with somebody and somebody was like, said something that was borderline inappropriate. Well, no, it's not borderline inappropriate. It's inappropriate. Is using the word civilized.
Mm.
In a derogatory way.
Ooh, okay.
Okay. Let's just say that.
Okay.
And so that's a hierarchy of peoples
mm-hmm.
in the way we use the word civilized in our world.
Right.
And I, in my understanding of how I come to the world is in fact, indigenous traditional communities have such a sophisticated knowledge systems that are so sophisticated, they're not necessarily understandable from people who don't take the time to look or see, right? Beyond anything we can imagine. They have their own archiving systems, their own science systems, their own everything, right?
Yeah.
And so if I'm speaking to someone who doesn't see that and uses the word civilization in a way for me, which is an aberration,
right?
I like take a breath inside. And then I'm like, hey, Samantha, who practices peace, what does she do right now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm noticing that I could go into reaction. I'm noticing that this way of thinking and perceiving the world not only is different than mine, but I'm judging it as wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quite confident in my own analysis, right? And yet I want to allow differences to coexist
mm-hmm.
and people get to be where they are in their journey and their understanding of life and da 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 da. And the other voice in me is going, yeah, but these things continue because you don't stand up and right. you don't speak your voice and you do this like, it's like the bigger conversation that was going on was more important. You're just going to take this little thing and make a big deal. And it's like a storm in a teacup, but is it? And ah, da, da, da. So I have this whole conversation inside me. And this is like having a conversation with a person. This is about use of one word in one little tiny moment.
Right.
And I've been sitting with it. You can tell I've been sitting with it for the past. This is another one from yesterday. So what I want to say is it doesn't give me answers. It gives me questions to sit in and live in and lean into and be with. It just gives me a way of experiencing it from a framework, or I don't even want to say framework, just to be in it differently than the action space.
It sets up something, the way that I relate to that is it sets up something that values, this sounds more like more high in the sky than I mean it to be. If we can live with more curiosity and check ourselves with some of that curiosity, like whenever the reactions come, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't react though. There are times, there are circumstances where that reaction is what's needed, or it's what we experiment with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something about being able to add capacity to remain curious in a whole lot of complexity, inner and outer, and inners with outers, lots of it. I think that matters.
So maintaining harmony in a moment, what does that mean? Because it's where you scale it. Like, how is what I'm doing contributing to harmony? And where is like harmony land? Like,
Yeah.
Is it the wider relationship with this person and it's better for me just to be saying nothing? I don't know. There's so much in there.
Yeah.
And in the end, when I think about practicing peace, I'm not in the frustration of that, the difficulty of that. It gives me a place that's just feels all okay. Like it just feels like, just be, sit in that as a thinking foundation for the experiences I have that maybe helps me lean on it to be a more conscious person and be in my own inquiry about, yeah, well, maybe you're saying it was best not to say anything because that comforts you in your personal discomfort of speaking up at those kind of moments, right? But I'm in all of that, like challenging myself as well.
Yeah.
In my, because at the end of the day, it's about our habits, right? And I know if I'm going to do something that takes me out of it, I'd like, I've got to show up differently. Having that being, I feel held by practicing peace, and it helps me to show up beyond my habits and comfort zones to something where that bigger self with a bigger purpose than just me feeling good or getting through this moment or this relationship with a person. It's like the bigger thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think we try to be humans being good humans with each other.
Humans being good humans with each other. So my part of my thinking is that we used to have rituals and practices that helped us, that we could lean on. And today, where are those rituals and practices that we have that we can lean on? And so we all have the capacity or propensity to fall into whatever. And what do we lean on? And it's one of the reasons why I say that I really believe organizations should develop a practice of talking circles.
Yeah.
Because you develop that as a practice and a habit, and you can just, you know, frame a question that could hold a conversation in that space so that when the real difficulties come and you're in something that's like tearing people apart and is like, becomes what we call conflict, where it's a breakdown is potentially there, you can lean on the talking circle protocol. Yeah. It's in your body, and it's a shared cultural practice that in a way helps you have a practice of peace together.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I've got this cultural anthropological lens, right? And so it's like, what are the practices and rituals that we have in our different communities, work or otherwise, that can help us practice peace together in times of difficulty? Because if not, we escalate.
Yeah, beautiful.
We escalate quite fast. We can escalate.
Mm-hmm. Sam, this is good. This has a lot of to be continued in it. And I recognize that. But in this shape of our time that we have today, maybe two things. One is any general closing inspiration that you want to offer that arises from our conversation today. And two is when people want to reach out to you, how do they do that?
Well, the easy one is when anybody wants to reach out to me. Percolab.com. Mm-hmm. Sam@percolab.com. Mm-hmm. There's so much. This summer we'll be organizing another Practicing for Peace dojo here in Quebec.
Yeah, beautiful. And,
it'll take place in the month of July. It'll be on an island, on a lake, and then we'll be canoeing out to it. Part of practicing peace is re-embedding ourselves in nature. And just to be with all of the stuff going on in the world, it just feels good to be doing it that way. So yeah, contact me, but as well, if anybody wants to join in July, to be for 3-4 days together in a dojo of practicing peace for ourselves and 1 meter around ourselves. And I'm going to let you start with the how this conversation is landing in you.
Okay, fair. Well, the first part of that is, you know, that I'd like to come to that dojo, and my July is booked in a different way. So I'm putting my hands on my face on my screen and, you know, going, oh, that's so good, and wishing everybody well there. I loved being together last year when we got to host a little dojo, and the year prior when we were in Denmark and got to meet together. So yay for that. I think in terms of today, I think for me, Sam, there's something continual and ongoing and perpetual or something about living into more of who we are as people. I feel that, who I am as an individual, who we are as people, and just daring to lean into the complexity, the difficulty, and the yumminess that is being groups of people. Like, I find myself so often searching for the story that lives under the story that lives under the story that lives under the story. Because we can talk about the things that we're doing and we need for our team, or we need for our community, or we need for our family. And usually there's things underneath that. Practicing peace and some of the things that live nearby that, to me, they seem to touch some of that thing under the thing under the thing. And in talking today, you and I feel like that surfaces up a bit. I really, well, lots of insights. Like you said, there is something about the nearby relationship with belonging and peace, the nearby relationship with mystery and peace, nearby relationship with wholeness and peace. Like, all of that goes together. And maybe the thing that I come back to is, it's good to feel the bigness of all of that. And then at some point, I just need to come back to, you know, can I breathe that? Can I welcome breathing that spirit of peace and practicing peace in the minorest of in the most minor of circumstances that I encounter the day, including how do I treat myself? And how do I treat others? And how do I be in whatever this circumstance is in a way that perhaps adds a little bit more, rather than some of the other things that can come so quickly, the fragmentation, the anger, the reactions, all of that. That feels ongoing to me, but it seems to matter to, you know, to be with others in some sense of shared wonder an inquiry about that, it grows something in me. I think that's what I would offer. How about you?
I feel like I started off with like my family story, right? When I'm every single person has their family story, and every single family story weaves with practicing peace in one way or another. And so it's infinitely personal, right? And this thing about I can spend my whole life learning how to live fully into who I am, right? And with sincerity and love, just being me. And when I feel those stories that we shared today, and I think about them with sincerity and love, just being oneself, they feel like little moments where that's happening. And I like the fact that we shared a bunch of stories and they link up in my mind in that same way of a pattern of these are moments where people are not caught up in other fix-it reflexes or placating reflexes or politeness reflexes. They've done whatever work they've to do or to go through where they can stay with it peacefully inside themselves. They're not all upset. This is just part of life. And I kind of feel like practicing peace is just staying with it part of life. Like, it's not all supposed to be feeling hunky-dory all the time. And how do we stay with it when it's not? And then I think there's this other little thing that came in today about particularly some, you know, conditioning that we experience and we invite each other into around peace, politeness, and the kind of politeness, peace. Yeah, it's got me really thinking about that for myself. And I know that they interact and meet up in really interesting ways. And I think I'm going to be just leave today thinking or just living into that with whatever's going to happen in the next minutes, hours, days, months.
12 minutes or 12 days, right? There you go.
It'll stay with me as I live whatever I'll have to be living. So yeah, thanks, Tennyson.
Thank you, Sam. This learning stays with me. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too.
Okay, returning now after that goodbye with Sam. What a sweet person. She's someone that I love to be in learning with, and I feel alive in some learning. It's ways of seeing, it's ways of being, and some pace. I feel like that's part of what was happening today. I could feel the part of me that's struggling a little bit with words and cough and breath. And then I could also feel in Sam the part that breathes and that slows down and that yarns or that tells a story and that connects some ideas together that doesn't have to be all speedy and sometimes is, you know. There's lots of things that just live and will live, I think, in my heart from listening to this. Staying with the complexity or staying with the confusion, it's a part of life. Like, that's a kind orientation to me that is somehow connected into practicing peace or living a certain kind of peace. It's infinitely personal. Appreciated those words from her. There was something about big self and the taking up space. So, and it was just fun to like remember some connections and stories, some of them shared, an appreciation and love with Toka and some others that we, you know, have been able to work with. So A big thanks. Thanks to you for listening and joining in. And, you know, let's extend the encouragement and the invitation here. It can feel like such a big thing to talk about practicing peace and go to some of the bigger circumstances in the world. And some of us need to and are required to do such. I think there will always be something that is deeply personal or infinitely personal, as Sam says, that is, you know, when you're looking for where to start in the midst of all of that bigness, know that starting with yourself is a big thing. And that self can happen simultaneously while other big things are happening out in the world. So I think we all dance the simultaneity of all of that. Thanks for joining again. More information on my website, tennisonwolf.com. More next month.